If you would, in your Bibles tonight, turn to Hebrews, book of Hebrews chapter 1.
Even forgot to put my lapel mic on. We'll be all right by Wednesday night, I promise you. We get past this camp out. Glad you chose to be here tonight on Father's Day. And as a father, you made that decision, made the right choice. Hope you had a good Father's Day afternoon. Hope you got to eat what you wanted to eat. Right? I mean, my kids gave me a gift. It was one of those tree-looking thingies in it. Topiary. And had sticks in it with candy bars on the end of it. That's a Father's Day present. And then my wife got up this morning. She said, "What do you want to eat for lunch today? You want to go out to eat? You want to eat the house?" And my first response is, "I want to eat the house." "And what do you want?" "I want roast and mashed potatoes or roast and potatoes." And so I got everything I wanted for Father's Day, kids there with me, and what a great time. And appreciate and love my family. I love my church family. Again, I hope you had a good afternoon. And I can't have the summer sit on this side and preach. I'm sitting on this side. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Y'all are shopping for a seat? That seat may be taken next week. This group right here hangs out in the same section. I usually can count on that in the Vians, but some of you other guys moving around. Zellners have pretty well found a section anyway. But you never know. You never know when that spot will be taken. The Uds, they don't know where they're at. They move around on me. That's all right. I've enjoyed studying the book of Hebrews, and I'm looking forward as we continue to go forward in this great and wonderful book. Look there with me. We covered the first three verses, and we, again, thinking about Christ, and that's our theme this year, our all, Christ our all. And we went over and discussed last time that the New Testament is far superior to the Old Testament by way of the covenant, that we're no longer under the shadows of the Old Testament, but now we see Him who the Old Testament foreshadowed. We see Him in living color. Living color Christianity. We no longer seeing Him in black and white, but seeing Him in four color. And our goal as Christians is to be like Christ and to follow in His steps. And if we're going to do that, we need to see Him more and more and get to know Him more and more in order that we might be like Him. And so, looking forward to do that. Again, better. That's the thing you need to think about when you think about the book of Hebrews. Better. Better. That's the key word. Better. Superior. To the Old Testament prophets. And the first three verses we preached on that Christ is superior to the Old Testament prophets. And if I was just to summarize it as quickly as possible and ask the question, why? Why is Christ superior to the Old Testament prophets? The answer is very easy. Because He is God. The prophets spoke for God. Jesus is God. And therefore, He doesn't have to learn the mind of God. He is the mind of God. And so the answer is just pretty simple, though I believe Paul, again, I think he wrote the book of Hebrews. He lays it out and gives various reasons why. We won't go over those again. But again, God spoke through the prophets, but in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Jesus is God. He is the mind of God. And in Him is the message of God. Again, the book of Hebrews, Paul is urging the Jews, to converts, not to go back to Judaism, but to stay by the stuff. Not to go back to those rituals, which would save no one, but to stay by the stuff. Stay by the Word of God. Again, how is he going to do that? How is he going to get them to understand they need to stay by the stuff and stay with the new covenant? And that is, he's showing them that that what they have been taught, that Jesus Christ is superior to that Old Testament system. Superior, greater, whatever you want to say, that it is better than the Old Testament system. And secondly, we're going to learn tonight, and it'll take a few Sunday nights, and he proves tonight that Jesus Christ is better, greater, superior than the angels. You say, well, why would he do that? Look at verse 4. Verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Or, and again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels, He saith, who maketh His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire. We're going to get a few good little nuggets out of this. And so I hope you'll listen tonight. Let's pray. We ask, Lord, that You be with us tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the Word. We ask, Lord, that You would just help us not only in learning more about You, but applying many of these to our own life. In Jesus' name, amen. Why do the Jewish people care whether or not Jesus is superior to angels? That's because they put a lot more stock in angels than we do. There was a lot more connection and value put upon angels than probably we do. I grew up in a home where Jesus Christ was it. You know, there was no stock put in really the, you know, angels and angels that who follow people. There was not a lot of that talked about in our home. And there was little stock put in the angels. We know that angels are ministers, and that's what they're for. But angels are not to be worshipped, right? Everybody understand that? But the Jews, they cared. They considered that the law was given through angels. And there's a lot more to that. You can go back and you read about what the Jewish customs are concerning angels. They just, and I'll say it again, they just put a lot of stock, had a lot of value in these ministers of God, these angels of God. So Paul wanted to go through and say, hey, whatever you're thinking about angels, whatever your thoughts are about angels, Jesus Christ is superior to the angels. Number one, we see He has a better name. It says, being made so much better than the angels. So we just covered that. He's better than the angels, even though they put stock in them, as He had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. We also understand that why was it important, this name important? Again, we think about the Jewish, that the names meant a lot to the Jews. Every Jewish name has a meaning behind it. The adults and kids, they understood the name. They understood the meanings behind their names. Everybody with me? Just like the word Lord and Jehovah and Jehovah Nisi. God has many, many names because there was great emphasis put upon that. Again, my name is Eric. I don't have a clue what it means. But to a Jew, it's a lot different. Their names mean something. And there's a lot of understanding. Here we think about that as He had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. These names also came with position and title and rank. All right? So He'd been given a better name, if you would, a greater name. The thing I want to get across to you tonight is, as He had by inheritance obtained this name. If you would, He gained something that He did not have before. You say, well, He's God, He has everything. As man, He didn't. Let's turn over to Philippians now. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. As He had by inheritance obtained, He obtained it, He earned it, obtained a more excellent name than they. Who's they? The angels. All right, look at with me in verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was the God-man. Everyone with me. And to be in the form of God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What is the result of that? What is the result of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary? What is the result of Christ living out a law-fulfilling life as a man? What is the result of God leaving heaven and setting aside His glory and coming to man and to earth and humbling Himself and becoming the likeness of man? What is the result of that? What is the result of His blood that was shed on Calvary? We know the result of that is salvation for us. But what else? It says, therefore, because of what Christ did, because of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, because of the sacrifice that was made, What are the results? It says, therefore, wherefore, God also, verse 9, hath highly exalted him. Who's him? The God-man. The Son of Man. The Son of Man. I'll say this again in a moment. Do you understand tonight that at the right hand of the throne of God sits a man? A man in flesh, a man with bones. Listening? A man sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus said to His disciples, touch me. He said to him, touch me. You could touch Him. He was flesh. He was bones. He could eat. And that man tonight said to them, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Look there with me. Which is above every name. Again, we're talking about rank, title, position. The Bible says in Colossians that He was the firstborn of all creation. Well, He was before creation. But we're talking about a rank. A rank. He's above all. And as a man, wherefore He has gained this title, He has obtained this title, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Can I just skip ahead and say, that includes angels. And we're going to show that here in a moment. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We see here that He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus Christ obtained as a man in flesh and blood. He obtained this title, this name, Jesus. Above all other names, the Son of God. Above all other names, the Son, S-O-N. Jesus Christ obtained it. Do you ever think about that? Again, as a man, He obtained it. As a man, He represents you and I at the right hand of the throne of God. What is He doing there? The Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for us. As a man. You say, preacher, you're putting too much emphasis on the man. No, here it's emphasizing it. Here it's emphasizing. It's saying, listen, as a man, Jesus Christ obtained this title. As a man, Jesus Christ obtained this name, which is above every name. Above every name. We'll cover that a little more in a moment. Go on with me. Look at verse 5. It says, for unto which the angel said at any time. So now you kind of ask the question, for unto the angels at any time was this said of an angel? And he's going to give you two statements. These two scriptures are actually found in the Old Testament. The first little section is found in Psalm 2, verse 7. And the second section is found in 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 14. So here, the writer is going to go back and quote Psalm and quote 2 Samuel as proof, again, that Christ is superior to the angels. So he says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Has God ever said of the angels, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? That's what he's asking. Has God ever said that? I really think it comes down to this. Two things. One, he says begotten. Angels were created. Jesus was begotten. That's a big difference. Right? If you're created, you're subject to the Creator. Your birth, that's a little different. Jesus was begotten of the Father. He was the Father. One and the same. And we could go into that and spend a lot of time in John 3:16 and other places. Begotten of the Father. We also see something else here. It says, thou art my son. My son, listen. In Job, it says the sons of God came before God, referring to the angels. The sons of God came before him. It says that those of us who believe and trust on him, that we might become the sons of God. Everybody understand and realize that. But it never says that we become a son of God. It never says that the angels have become a son of God. The only reference there is in the Bible to Son of God is referring to Jesus Christ. At what time have I said of the angels, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee? No, the angels are created and they were not a son. And they're not a son. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Creator, as He's already said in the first previous three verses of Hebrews, the Creator, upholding all things by the word of His power, Jesus is the only one referenced to as a son. I don't want to spend a lot of time on Psalm 2, verse 7, but I would like for you to turn over to 1 Chronicles 17, verse 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 13. And we know Psalm chapter 2 is a messianic psalm. In fact, that's a tremendous psalm talking about Christ and even His second coming. And what a deal. 1 Chronicles 17. I hope I said the reference right. 1 Chronicles 17 and verse 11. And it shall come to pass, he's talking about David is asked again if he can build the temple of God, and God is responding to David concerning whether or not he would allow David to build the temple. And he says, it shall come to pass, verse 11, when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. It's talking about Solomon. He shall build me an house, and I will establish his throne. Say it. Is that talking about Solomon? I don't know about you, but Solomon died 40 years after he took the throne. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him, as I took it from him that was before thee, talking about Saul, but I will settle him in mine house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. So we know that this prophecy took place, and it did happen, that Solomon built the temple, so it had a near fulfillment in the person of Solomon, but it has a far-reaching fulfillment when it uses the term forever, establish his throne forever. How is that throne established forever? Through the Son of David, the greater Son of David, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that throne will be and has been established forever. One day Jesus will return. And He won't return this time as a suffering lamb. He will return as the King of Kings. And He will sit on that throne forever. He will defeat His enemies. And He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that word forever, I just want to again take you back there to see that term. Forever. The greater Son of David reigning on the throne. Forever. So the writer references back and says, listen, David was referred to in this verse, but it's even greater than that. It's talking about the greater Son of David. Thou art my Son. Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Boy, what a great, great reference. So, number one, we see he has a better name, but we also see that he was begotten and that he is the Son of God, making him superior to the angels. And then we see the worship here. It says, verse 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten of the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. If I fall down and worship someone, that means he is greater than I am. And worship him. You say, well, we won't even turn over there. You know it. In Bethlehem, the angels came and worshiped him. They sang, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The angels of God worship him. There are so many references to various places and times in which the angels ministered to him and was there for him. And so we see this in the next verse. I'm going to just go on. You ready? Verse 7. You guys are going to get out way early. Maybe not. Maybe we'll get going here in a moment. Verse 6 again, and again, when he bringeth in the begotten, first begotten of the world, he saith, and then let all the angels of God worship him. Worship who? Worship the Son. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. So we see the angels worshipped him. We see that there in Bethlehem. But the angels, what? Served him. The angels served him. In what areas, in what places did the angels serve him? Served him. Of course, the ones that came to mind as I was studying was simply there at the hour of temptation in Matthew chapter 4. And the Bible says he was tempted of the devil. He was tested there. He went without food for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was there led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And there the devil tempted him three times. And the Bible says that after he had staved off the temptation and risen above it. By the way, why could he not sin? He was God. Though he was tempted, he could not sin because he was God. But he proved his sonship, if you would, by way of the temptation and not giving in to the temptation. Right? And then, the Bible says the angels came and ministered to him. The angels came and cared for him. They are ministers, flames of fire. They are servants of God. They are servants to a holy and righteous God. We think about the Mount of Transfiguration and the two prophets there and so forth, ministering to the Lord. We think about the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says that Jesus sweat great drops of blood and the angels ministered to him. Isn't that good? Look again. Just think about it. The angels worshipped him and the angels served him. And the writer is saying to the Jews, listen, listen, if they served him and they worshipped him, then he is greater than they are. He is superior to them. Don't put any stock in the angels. Our Savior, the one who died on the cross, the one who shed his blood on Calvary, he's obtained a greater name than they by his sacrifice on Calvary. And the angels ministered unto him. And the angels served him. The angels worshipped him. He is superior and greater than the angels. The name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a lovely name it is. I don't know if you've heard that song. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. What a great, great name it is. One of my favorite songs is, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He's just the same as His lovely name, and that's the reason why I love Him so. 'Cause Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Think about it. Think about all the songs that are just written about His name. There's more. When I think of Scriptures, I think about songs. This is the way I work. You know, I think about all the various things written about Him, but just the songs written specifically just about His name. What a great name. Jesus, the sweetest name I know. Jesus, Savior, the Son of God. But again, I want to emphasize in the conclusion here that Jesus, Savior, Son of God, in power, in rank, in position, in title, above the angels, above the prophets. He has obtained this. Philippians says that every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things of the earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. To who? Jesus Christ. They will. Everyone will bow before Him. The angels, human beings, the devil, everyone will bow before Him. The begotten Son, not merely created, but born, equal with God. And I want to use the word power again. If you're equal with God, you're powerful. Power. Power. Above all, superior. Strength. Worship. They worshipped Him. You know, they worshipped Him. Let us worship Him. Let us worship Him. Why? Why did they worship Him? Because the Son of God was sitting there in the little trough in Bethlehem. They understood that. They didn't understand concerning salvation, but they understood that was the Son of God laying there in the manger. How do you know that? Because they worshipped Him. They wouldn't have worshipped Him unless they understood He was the Son of God. Oh, the angels desire to look into salvation. They don't completely understand that, but they knew He was the Son of God. Worship. All of us should worship Him. All of us should adore Him and bow down for Him because He is God. And this is going to be emphasized throughout the entire first 8 chapters. He is God. He is God. He is superior. He is powerful. Why? Because He's God. He's greater than prophets because He's God. He's greater than the angels because He's God. And therefore we should worship Him because He is God. Then the angels served Him. And as the angels served Him, so should we serve Him. Right now. They served Him. Why? Because He's God. They served Him. Why? Because He was God sent down from heaven. Why do we serve Him? As we discussed this morning, because we love Him. And we love Him because He gave His life for us. He shed His blood on Calvary for us. That our sins might be forgiven. That we might have a home in heaven. Angels are but servants. But He is the Savior. Angels are but servants. But He is the Savior. Let us be connected and be servants of the Most High God. Well, we got a whole week here. Let's worship Him and serve Him. Let's worship Him and serve Him. Let's all stand. Hymn 163. All right, so we're getting a little better understanding of the Savior in His humanity. And in His humanity, He is superior to the angels. Let me clarify again that. Why? Because He's obtained by inheritance a greater name. How? By what He did for us on Calvary as a man and as God. Lord, we thank You today for Your love. We thank You for the opportunity to come and again to look through this great and wonderful book and to see You in a greater light again, afresh, as the Son of Man who has obtained a great inheritance. Lord, we thank You for what You did on Calvary for us, shedding Your blood on Calvary that we might have everlasting life. I pray tonight if there's someone here who's never accepted You as Savior, Lord, we pray they might step forward and encourage and in strength and come forward and accept You today. Lord, we thank You that we can worship and serve You as the only true and living God. Help us, Lord, to serve and worship You more. In Jesus' name, amen. As we